Jesus, Lord, we're so thankful to be here this morning. We give thanks for this day and this time, Lord. Bless this time together over morning prayer. Bless the worship, the word, the prayer time. We just give it all to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to read from Proverbs chapter 21. We're read from verses 16 to 23. Okay, so Proverbs 21 at verse 16. A man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. He who loves pleasure will become a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not become rich. The wicked is a ransom for the righteous, and the treacherous is in the place of the upright. It is better to live in a desert land than with a contentious and vexing woman. There is precious treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man swallows it up. Amen. Okay. At verse 16, it says, a man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in assembly of the dead. So, it's understanding. Understanding what? Is it understanding just being an understanding person in general? You take great care to understand others. That's good, but really, as we're in the book of Proverbs and wisdom, it's the understanding of the Word of God. It's the Word of God, because it is the Word of God. It's not just, you know, about reading the Word and having the information. That can be good, to have the context and know everything, but it's really understanding it, and understanding it as how the Word of God fits into the world and your life, right? So therefore, the way you understand the world is through understanding the Word, and the Word is in the center, right? The Word is your pillar, your staple, and then let the Word be what leads you to define everything else, your relationships, the way you live life, understand the world is through the lens of the Word of God. Now, if you don't, it says, will rest in the assembly of the dead. In other words, if you don't, then it will lead to very destructive behavior and results. Now, let's see, how can that be? Example, right? If you don't let the Word of God define the world, especially in this current age and time, then what defines your life, your understanding of the world? Right now we can see what defines is, I think the floor lights aren't on, by the way. Is it on? Yeah. Oh, because it's hot? Oh, okay, it's okay. Doesn't matter. Then it's your feelings. Right now, for a lot of the world, it is your feelings is what defines and your understanding of the world. It's what you feel. And we see right now, it's a huge issue and contention for everybody. Right now, not just with, not just your, especially with your identity, right? And with gender or other things. People are just identifying with certain things because that's how they feel. And that becomes their reality and understanding of the world. It's how I feel. Now, the problem with this is, well, one, it's not Word of God. Number two is, I think we can all acknowledge, your feelings change. So if your feelings change over time, then your identity also changes with your feeling. How can that? And so that's going to lead to you constantly so focused and fixated on yourself. What do I feel? How do I feel? How does this make me feel? Is this my desire? And desires change, right? I used to hate cilantro. Now I love cilantro. My feeling towards that has changed. And so what the Word of God does, it gives you understanding and certainty. And what does the Word of God say? It says, hey, your heart, what you're feeling is deceiving. And so, therefore, don't put too much weight into what you feel. Instead, put the weight into what the Word of God says about you, which is your child of God. And when I was able to embrace this, it actually brought a lot of freedom and liberty into my life. Because before I was a Christian, I struggled with my identity in the sense of, I was born and raised in Toronto, which is, am I Canadian or am I Chinese? Same. What am I? I don't quite feel fully Canadian. And then I thought, oh yeah, I'm Chinese. I come to Hong Kong and meet Chinese people, and they tell me, you're not Chinese because you don't speak the language. And then, what am I? What am I? And I put too much of that importance, and I had to really figure that out. And then when I became a Christian, hey, actually, your main identity and the only certain thing is you're a child of God. This is eternal. And once I realized that, put my hope in that, actually, it freed me up. I didn't have to spend all this time and focus onto who am I? What am I? I'm a child of God. And so that's what the Word of God does. And then in verse 17 it says, he who loves pleasure will become a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not become rich. He who loves pleasure will become a poor man. If you think about it, like, why do people love pleasure so much? Of course, they enjoy it, but it's very much about now, the present, right? I want to be satisfied now. And it's also very me-focused. It's very self-focused. You know, this is a very, it can be positive or negative, but there's, you know, this promotion of self-care. You need to be, you got to take care of yourself first. It's very me, me, me. And so you don't think of the future. You live in the present. That's that's where YOLO, you know, you only live once. That, you know, Pastor Navarro talked about carpe diem, YOLO. That's, I would say, you know, YOLO, you only live once. It can be good and bad. Good would be like, hey, I only have one life to live for Christ, so I got to give my all to him. That would be good, right? I only have this one life to serve, to glorify him. I only have this one life, so therefore, I got to live my life for him without regrets, not of the flesh. I could die tomorrow. So I had to love and serve with all my heart, mind, and soul. That would be good. But a lot of the YOLO is very self-centered. Like, hey, I only get to experience this pleasure once. It might even be considered risky, or it's not good for you. Hey, but YOLO, I'm going to do it. That is a very self-centered approach, which is not good. But that's our flesh. We want to be satisfied, right? We want to be satisfied now. In fact, what's the opposite if you look into the future? When you look into the future and not living in the present, what you're doing is you're taking your resources, your time, things that you have, and you're investing it. You're putting it away so you can't experience the fullness of it now for a greater investment later. And to experience that, right, it requires discipline, self-discipline, and in some ways, self-denial. That's what investing is, right? You put money away. You could spend it now and enjoy life more, or you put it away, experience less now, so that you'll have more and you can continue your quality life later. And it says, he who loves wine and oil will not become rich. Why wine and oil? Well, wine and oil, first of all, wine, I think oil, huh? Why oil? But wine and oil would be considered the luxuries of life. Wine, I think we can acknowledge for most of us, it's not an essential to live, right? I know we used to think that wine, a glass a day of red wine, is actually good for you. Not true, by the way. There was one study done 40 years ago that said, hey, if you drink red wine once a day, it's good for you. Not good for you. Alcohol is just not good for you. Now, I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying, don't deceive yourself to think, hey, this is really good for me. This gives me incredible health benefits. Not true. So it's not it's not an essential. And so in this verse, when you say wine and oil represents the luxuries, and it says, so those who love, you could say, the luxuries of life will not become rich. And usually the love, when it's talking about these luxuries, it's excessive. And it says, you will not become rich. Is what it's saying is, even if you are blessed, right? Even if you receive blessing from the Lord or just your circumstances, the reason you're not blessed is because you're going to squander it. Because you have no wisdom. You're thinking of only in the moment, YOLO. And so all the resources you have, all the blessings you have, you're just going to use it all. And so in the end, what was supposed to be a blessing is not. A great sign of this would be spending beyond your means, right? If you are just spending and you don't have the income to support it, you just put stuff on a credit card and you're constantly just trying to pay off that negative debt, that's a sign. That's a sign that you're not being wise. That you need to maybe pare down your spending. Can't just say, hey, or take an honest look at these things. Are they really necessities, essentials? And I would say for most of us, especially in Hong Kong, we're not living with essentials. Like, you have to have this to survive. Verse 18, the wicked is a ransom for the righteous, and the treacherous is in the place of the upright. So this is kind of you can't read too much, because you can't read too much into this in terms of, like, we know what a ransom is, right? It's when someone, I guess, is kidnapped or taken, and someone pays a bounty, or not a bounty, pays an amount to receive them back, right? That would be a ransom. So in this case, it says the wicked is a ransom. In the other story, is it like the payment for the righteous? So you can't exactly make this meaning work, but overall, this is the meaning. This is a way of saying that the righteous will ultimately succeed and will triumph over the wicked. That's what it's saying. And the treacherous is in the place of the upright. And so what this verse is trying to say, it's an encouragement to us to walk righteously. Because oftentimes when we look at the wicked, we would come to the conclusion, that's not fair. Why do they get to get away with this, cut corners, lie, and I have to be honest and live righteous and suffer, right? That might be what you feel. But here, it's just reminding you that no, the wicked is a ransom for the righteous. Ultimately, you will be the one who will succeed in triumph over the wicked. And we got to look, again, eternal. If you look in the temporal, if you look in the now, or this week, or even in your lifetime, maybe you're like, oh, that's not fair. But if you look eternally, you have to remember, what is our objective in life? It's to serve the Lord, live our life to the fullest for the Lord, to glorify Him. In eternity, someday in heaven, trust me, you're not going to be like, hey, it was unfair that that person, you know, lied or said something and they got promoted and I didn't. It's not going to even, what you consider success or your KPI in heaven, it's not going to be that. You're not even looking that. Instead, you'll probably look at how you responded, which is, wow, I was able to live righteously, and that gives me great pleasure. Verse 19, it is better to live in a desert land than with a contentious and vexing woman. Earlier in the same Proverbs, it talks about it would be better to live in the corner of the house, under the corner of the roof, than be with a contentious woman. In other words, it'd be better to have great discomfort. Here it says, it is better to live in a desert land. In other words, it's better to be alone. Right? In the desert, there's no one there. Also uncomfortable and dry, but you're all alone. And here it adds, not just contentious, but a vexing woman. And so we can apply this not just to women or just your wives. It can also be to husbands, to spouses. And this is wisdom to all the singles and married people. You can agree in your heart that to be married to someone or be with someone who's contentious and vexing, angry, is tough. You probably, maybe your people in this, you might even think or fantasize about divorcing because you're like, oh my gosh, life would be so much easier if I wasn't in this type of partnership. It's just unpleasant. Right? You're walking on eggshells. Right? There's things on your heart that you want to share with your spouse, but you're worried that they're going to get angry and it's going to become a crazy fight. And as a result, what does that do? If someone's very contentious, you withdraw, you keep to yourself. You don't share what's really going on in your heart out of fear of how they're going to react and respond. And especially as a husband, you're supposed to be the leader. You're supposed to be the gatekeeper. You're supposed to be the head of the household. And you see things about your marriage and family or relationship that you're like, hey, this is not glorifying the Lord. You have discernment and wisdom. This is what we have to do. And you're too afraid to even share it because it's going to end up in a crazy fight. Whoa, that's a tough relationship. And not only that, but you're supposed to be one flesh. You're supposed to be best friends. You're supposed to, more than anyone else, you're supposed to be able to be honest and share your feelings, your thoughts. That's intimacy, and you cannot do that because they're contentious, vexing. Now, if you're in that situation, like you're married, that's a tough situation, but there's hope. You can do something about it to improve it, right? You can go through counseling or, you know, talk to PSAM. And hopefully he can come and change the way you have disagreements and fights, right? And Janie and I, when we first dated, it was crazy contentious at the beginning. So unpleasant. In fact, at some point we're like, oh man, this is really unpleasant. Really don't enjoy our relationship. And the result of that conversation, let's not be unpleasant to each other. Let's be kind. Let's not be reactive. But if you are not, I guess, if you're not married yet, then just be wise with the person you choose. Finally, it says in verse 20, there is a precious treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man swallows it up. Swallows it up. I mean, all to say, walking in wisdom, it brings blessing. It doesn't guarantee blessing. And this is how we have to differentiate Proverbs from God's promise, right? Proverbs, it's wisdom. It applies not just to Christians, even non-Christians. But in general, if you do these things, it's going to, like, the probability, it's going to bring blessing. And so, if you walk in wisdom, it's going to bring blessings. And it says, a foolish man swallows it up. So, again, earlier I said, yeah, which is they'll squander it. That's the difference. Even whether in lack or if you have abundance, you need to keep walking in wisdom, not walk according to how much you have and then you spend that much. Amen? So let's, as grace leads us, let's go before the Lord. And I think kind of the theme of these five verses is are we letting our flesh, our self-centeredness, our desires be what leads us? Our greed, our desire to have more, to YOLO, to live only once and experience all that we have? Or are we letting wisdom lead us? And then it's kind of especially the Word of God. Are we letting the Word of God be what leads our lives, lead us in eternity? So let's go before the Lord, have Him to search our hearts, and and do some repenting, which is simply to turn away from our ways of maybe being so self-focused and turning around and fixing our eyes on the Word of God, the truth, Jesus.
Suffering. Till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the soul